Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, gentlemen, we are attempting to get hold of Rocco Baldelli. Should happen any minute now. Mike, I got to hand it to you. You were all over. You had every one of those coaches pegged.
Well, you get a feel for these things after a while. No, actually, I was at the semifinals of the football and ran to Gene Glenn.
Sure.
At the stadium the other day. And, of course, he was a Waseca, great three-sport athlete, still lives
Mr.
out there.
Mr. Basketball.
And I hope they can find a spot for him in the organization because he served so many people so well and obviously his minor leagues, whatever it is that it can be. But I would think there'd be an outside chance still that Eddie Guardado could end up with some role with the team, from what I understand. Yeah. There's lots of different things they do with former Twins, and he may be in line to get something somewhere there.
Wes Johnson, I lost track of him ever since the Timberwolves drafted him.
Yeah, and he shows up there ninth year, they said. I think it's ninth year already. And he's still playing. He's played for a lot of teams. He was really a nice guy, too, when he was here. So it's good to see. I think he was the number four overall pick. And, of course, four overall pick in the NBA can be a journeyman in about 3 years. And that's what he's been.
I'm talking about the new Wes Johnson, the pitching coach for the—
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Wesley Johnson, the former Timberwolf that played against him on Wednesday night. And by the way, along those lines, you forget, but J.B. Bickerstaff back in town coaching Memphis today against him.
Yeah, that's a good story angle. Sid?
Have you talked to Malasura about the situation with the Twins?
I have not, but he was there for the Joe Mauer.
Yeah, he was.
I thought it was really good that that crowd that showed up for the Joe Mauer goodbye was terrific.
In fact, Sid, talk about that press conference, because that was really something, that Joe Mauer press conference. You've been to a lot of them. This one was unique.
I have never seen a press conference like that. Gardner, you had Terry Ryan, you had Mauer, of course, you had Pulled, you had Dave St. Peter, you had just everybody.
Zach Parise.
I never seen so many guys at a press conference like that one.
And, you know, I thought that Joe Mauer went out in a really nice way.
Oh, he prepared well.
The letter was well. His statement, his comments were so good. And the amount of respect he has in the local community, the multiple franchises had people there. The athletes, sort of his contemporaries, were there. I thought the Twins really did that well. But Joe Mauer himself did it well.
Isn't it funny, though, Dave, how, you know, you see this every time. A guy plays and he's in the spotlight and he is critiqued and criticized a lot. But if he's done a fair share, the day he retires, you immediately leave that realm and go into immortality or legendary, whatever you want to call it. But he suffered. And Paul Molitor, I talked to about this the other day. He suffered a lot of criticism over the last 8 years. You know, Joe would be the first one to say justified. But the other thing that I asked Paul about was, you know, we never saw the fire in the belly. Did he have it? And Paul was almost, he said, no one will ever understand that the fire burned deep. He just didn't show it.
Sid.
Okay, you saw a lot of Twins last season.
No, we don't have the manager.
Huh?
We do not have the manager.
Oh, we don't have
Maybe he's asking you this question, Dave. Maybe he wants to
Unless you want to know what I think.
Just talking.
We're just talking.
Yeah.
It's called filling.
Yep.
And I thought we were doing it pretty well till there.
This guy, this manager.
Rocco Baldelli.
He claims he saw the Twins last year and he thought they were a pretty good team. I don't agree with him.
Well, he coached against them when he was with Tampa, obviously, so he saw him often. But I don't know what else he's going to say right now, right?
Well, when you've got the job, it's not real good to come in and say, I thought they stunk, which is why the managerial opening occurred. You know, it's going to be an interesting offseason. I think what we've seen so far is the Twins are not going to do it by the book as we understand the book. The building of their coaching staff has been a very fascinating thing to watch. And as I told Mike before you got in here, Sid, nationally, the Twins are getting some pretty good grades from people who follow baseball on a national level for the way they're putting together this relatively unknown coaching staff.
Here's the thing. It's pretty obvious that Molitor didn't pick those coaches because they kept three coaches.
Yep.
On his present staff. So they picked the coaches. Molitor didn't pick them. And now they keep those coaches that they picked.
Well, Sid, I think that's a fascinating observation. One of the reasons I was looking forward to talking to Rocco this morning was to try to understand the coach hiring system. Were these names that Rocco came up with, were these Falvey and Levine names? Was it? I figured the answer is going to be it's a combination, but I think that that was a very fair observation.
Well,
let's put it.
Here's the thing. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead, then. Go ahead, then, Mike. Yep.
Let's face the facts. These two executives they hired from Texas and Cleveland haven't done one good thing so far.
Whoa, that's a little harsh.
Huh?
That's a little harsh.
Nothing. They all the free agents they signed last season haven't done anything. I mean,
well, let me respond to that. I'll give you one good thing I think they did. I would applaud the trades they made at trade deadline last year, getting back what everybody thinks. If you're looking at the top 20 and top 30 players in the minor league system, a handful of those people were not there before some of those midseason or trade deadline trades. I'd give them good grades for that. Mike, you were going to say something.
Except that, you know, we heard Buxton Sano forever. You don't know these guys now until they prove themselves in the big leagues. Well, as I said, it's interesting the dynamics of that whole coaching staff thing that Sid was alluding to. You go back to when David Yeager from Staples was available. He was at Memphis, and he was available for Timberwolves' job, and they flirted with him for about 3 days, and everybody thought he was going to be the head coach, and they agreed to it until Flip told them who was going to be his coaches, and he said, well, then I'm not taking the job. It's not just about having – it's about the respect, because these coaches – these managers or head coaches expect that they get to name the staff.
Yep, Sid.
What I think they're going to do is not worry about winning this year.
Don't say that.
I think they're going to bring in a lot of young rookies, guys who played in Rochester, guys who played in Chattanooga, guys who played there, and just go with those guys and try and develop those young players.
Well, I agree with you and I disagree with you. They had nothing at Rochester last year. If they bring up guys from Rochester, the Twins are in deep trouble. Yep. They didn't have much more at Chattanooga. All the talent was at the A level. And I don't get the feeling these guys are ready to bring Kirilloff up and they're ready to bring, Brewster Gratterall is a couple of years away.
Royce Lewis, they're not going to rush,
Lewis,
right?
I see Chattanooga starting. To go to the AAA, I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah, that's not fortified because the AAA would. If Chattanooga was good, they'd have been a AAA because there are opportunities all over if you followed that team this year for AAA players and opportunities there.
Getting a break sign here. We'll go to break. We're still in search of Twins manager. Not sure we're going to have him, but we've got some callers lined up. We've got other directions we can go, so stick around. Sports Huddle.
No Sid, David, Mike.
All right, Sid, we've got Lou Nanny standing by to talk hockey, but first I know you want to say something about your friends at the Starkey Company.
I have a tough time hearing, and Starkey has helped me fantastic. Bill Austin, who runs that Starkey outfit, has done a fantastic job. They have helped a lot of people, and if you want to fix your hearing, go to Starkey. You won't go any better.
All right, let's switch topics and talk hockey. Your friend Lou Nanny joins us right now.
Good morning.
Louie, let's talk about the Gopher hockey team. Where do they stand right now?
Well, they're just finding their way. Bob Motzko is just taking over, and he's got to find out what guys can do, how they play, how he's got to make them improve. I watched them last night, and they played a much better game than they played on Friday night. In fact, they completely controlled the game last night. They cut St. Lawrence down to only about 14 shots, and they had over 30. And they played with much more puck possession than they've been playing and a little more physical. They still got to get the forwards especially, got to get a little more physical up front when they're going to check people, and that's the way Bob likes his team to play, and they will get that way. The one big drawback thus far for them that I think is going to change, because if you look at Motzko's history at St. Cloud, his power plays were terrific, just terrific. And with the Gophers right now, they're getting a lot of opportunities in a power play. They're not scoring the goals that they normally do. They just seem to be missing the net quite a bit. And when you miss the net from the side, the puck comes out of the zone, kills 20, 25 seconds. And they're doing that an awful lot. And I think you're going to see changes in that.
That Burke kid looked pretty good last night, Louie.
Boy, he certainly did. You know, He's the first kid to play for Minnesota from Arizona. He got two goals, and he hasn't been in the lineup all the time. He's got Moscow's got a few extra forwards, so Burke got in. He got the two goals last night, his first two of his career. Played very well. He came from the North American League, and he had a good record scoring goals there, and he got his chance last night and made him count.
How about the poor attendance at hockey? Years ago, they used to sell out every game. Now nobody shows up.
Well, you're right there, Sid. They got to make some changes. And, you know, it was a combination of things. I don't think it was only the Big Ten. I think the fact that seat licenses were put in years ago and your most loyal fans were there for 20, 30, 40 years, you know, and taking their kids and that didn't buy those tickets. And you still haven't recovered from that. People got to realize that in this day and age now that it costs more to go to the game, and you do get your money's worth. The university's got a great program, and I want to see it get supported the way it was in the past. The rink is terrific to go and attend the game. They got great parking, and you always have a lot of fun at the game. So they got to develop that crowd back again and start getting more people in the crowd. Many times you got announced crowds much different than what's actually there, and much of it has to do too with corporate seats that if the corporations aren't getting people to use them or forget about giving them away, then you don't have those seats occupied at all.
Hey, Louis, do you think it's about ticket pricing though? I would just think that it's, you know, if you pick between the Wild or the Gophers, a lot of people pick the Wild right now, and pricing doesn't matter that much.
Well, you're right, but you know you got two distinct different crowds, though, Mike. We've always had, even with when the North Stars were, you know, when we were selling out, the university was still selling out, and there were two distinctly different crowds. They're all hockey fans, but there was a cheaper game to go at the university in that time than it was to the North Stars. And right now, you know, with the seat license and stuff like that, in certain sections, your ticket prices do get up there, but the people got to look at it. If they want to sit in those seats as a donation to the university to aid their program. But we got to start getting the families back together and coming to the games. That's what we used to have in the past. You'd see a lot of kids there, Boy Scout groups, et cetera. You're not seeing them as much now, and they got to start marketing to those kind of groups to get them into the stadium and start filling that place again.
What about the Wild? Last night they got beat. What's their future?
Well, you know, they really gave that one away last night, 3-2, and they were leading 2-1 with 7 minutes to go. But they've played much better than people expected early on. Their home record has been tremendous since last December, and they have just come off a road trip where they won 5 out of 7. They're playing really well. Boudreaux's got them playing real, real well. Yeah, starting from the goaltending on out, the goaltending's been good. Dumba's about second in the league in goals scored for a defenseman, and the defense overall is probably second in the league in points produced. So you got your goaltending and defense playing well, and they're getting some balance up front. They still need a little more scoring up front, but they're playing with speed. He's got them in motion, which helps them because they're not the fastest team in the league, and they are the oldest. But they're a team that every night you go there, they make it fun to watch because they're competitive. They work hard. They're entertaining, and for the home fans, I mean, if you look at their record, probably since last December, it is maybe the best in the National Hockey League.
Louis, is Phil Housley sitting on a lottery ticket there? I mean, Buffalo's gone young. That pass that Rasmus Dahlin made to McCabe to set up the game-tying goal, and then he scored the game winner, they have gone young, but wow, they've got some, they're fortified, huh?
Well, they got young because they were, you know.
Because they're bad, yeah.
A couple of years, so they got Eichel, now they got Dahlin. Dahlin, by the way, you know, he's not just the number one pick overall. He's another generational type player. In fact, the people back in Sweden, and I think, you know, this is a bit too much, but they believe that Dahlin was better than Lidstrom, who's probably the second best defenseman of all time, play with the Red Wings. And this kid has been sensational. He's been playing in the senior league over there and doing extremely well. He dominated the junior tournaments, and you know he's going to be a star in the league. And they already had Eichel. And they got Casey Middlestead. They've got some young pieces there. And it's good for Phil because he took a lot of heat last year. Their team wasn't very good. And going into the season, people were saying he was one of the ones under the gun for his job.
Yeah. Well, and now you know why Sid didn't want to get rid of Pominville.
Yeah, Bob and Phil. Look at him. I think he's got 9 goals and 8 assists. And he's playing with Eichel, which is, you know, Eichel's one of the top centers in the league, easily in the top 4 or 5. And I'm telling you, he's got a rebirth. And Buffalo had a little bit of a goaltending problem too, and their goaltenders played better this year. They made a change there, but they got some young players that are going to have great careers. And Phil's looking pretty good right now. It's good to see.
Do you think you made a mistake by not adding any players? They got the same roster they had last year.
Well, you can't expect Fenton to come in and make changes without even knowing what he's got as players. You know, you could have an opinion of a player from afar, but until you really get to know him in his game and watch him, you don't want to be giving away assets that just because you had a certain impression when you might have seen him 3 times during the season. And so because he didn't make any decisions doesn't mean he's not going to make any trades in the near future here, because now he's had 20 games or so, a quarter of a season, to assess what he's got. But you as a manager, you want to come in and make sure you know what you got before you start trading it.
You know, Louie, you were at Dunkers when Fenton was there, and he said basically most of the offers he was getting were from people who must have thought he was desperate to make a trade, and they simply weren't very good offers. And then my other observation is apparently they liked what they saw on their trip to Russia. What do you know about this kid is maybe a year and a half from now?
Well, first of all, what he said is right, because, I'm like every other general manager. When a new general manager come in the league, I mean, it wasn't 15 minutes you're on the phone trying to steal somebody from him. And I'm sure, Fenton went through that and he realized that people were just trying to steal from him, so he wasn't going to just give away anything. Kaprizov is a kid, and I got to tell you, this guy is really a superb talent. In fact, Tarasenko is one of the better players in the league and plays in St. Louis and was a star in Russia. Kaprizov got more goals than he did in his first year in the Russian league. And when Kaprizov played in the World Juniors, he was far and away the best. He had the most goals scored. He had 9 in that short junior tournament. He's not big in height. You know, he's probably, I want to say, 5'10 at best. But he goes around 200 pounds, and he's built like a little tank. And he's very sturdy on his skates. He's very fast, great with a puck, great vision, and can really score goals. This kid is going to be a tremendous asset to the Wild when they get him. It's unfortunate they got to wait another year and a half before he comes.
Lou Nanny, for being in
the... Can I ask him one more?
Yeah.
This Perunovic up, this defenseman up in Duluth, 5'8 or whatever, they tell me that he is the best college hockey player there is right now, a local, a northern Minnesota kid that's got a huge future ahead. What do you know about him?
Well, I got to tell you, this kid, he might be small, but he's tremendous. You look at the Wild, they got Spurgeon. And Perunovic is, the same size as Spurgeon. Perunovic is so gifted offensively, it's unbelievable. He is, he's a difference maker. And I think he was drafted by St. Louis, and I believe he might have even gone through 1 year of draft.
Yeah.
Didn't get picked. I'm telling you, teams now are going to be just gnashing their teeth when they see this kid, because he is so gifted offensively. Last night he scored 1 minute to go for Duluth to tie the game. They won in overtime up in Denver, and the guy, to watch him play is just a treat, because he's got great peripheral vision, great perception, and he's got excellent hockey sense besides having the gift, of handling the puck and being able to skate. I just love this kid.
Lou Nanny, for being in this show, get your merch certificate. Thanks very much for making yourself available.
Thank you.
Louie, always a treat. All right, Lou Nanny, back with more after this. Sports Huddle, said Dave and Mike. We are back, relatively short session here to make room for Glenn Mason in just a couple of minutes. Let's take a caller here. John and Alex, you've been a long time. What's on your mind, John?
Yeah, I've been following Gopher football for 50 years, and I hear the same thing from the coaches. We are young or we're injured. Cal Stahl was the worst. PJ is a close second. I never heard that from Jerry Kill or Coach Clays. My second point is Nebraska has the same record as the Gophers, and they had 89,000 people at their game. Scott Frost reminds me of Coach Clays. He doesn't run off at the mouth, and he's no nonsense. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, football in Lincoln's a little different here. There's nothing else in it. It's part of your DNA when you're born in the state of Nebraska. But nevertheless, they do, regardless of the performance of the team, Nebraska fans do turn out. Not only that, they're some of the nicest fans on earth.
9-6 they won yesterday?
3 field goals.
How does that happen with that high-octane offense? But be scared of Nebraska. Be very scared because they're going to go hard in their recruiting base and they're going to come into Minnesota some.
And you talk about young? They're
really young. That quarterback's going to be there for a while.
He's really good. All right. Well, we'll make that a one-question segment to make way for Glenn Mason. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to the Sports Auto with Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back, and it's always fun, always a pleasure to talk to Glenn Mason. He sees so many things in baseball, or in football, because he was the coach. He knows what he's looking for. Glenn, first of all, Northwestern is just an ongoing phenomenon. You look at them in paper every year and say, well, because of good coaching, maybe going to get up to the middle of Big Ten. But what they've accomplished this year, their road record is unbelievable.
You know, Dave, you're exactly right. When I was meeting with P.J. Fleck on Friday, you know, before the game, and he was talking about Northwestern. I said, you know, P.J., I got to tell you something. I said, I've been associated with the Big Ten Conference since 1968, and I'm sure that's mind-boggling to him because I'm not sure when he was born, but he wasn't born then. And I said, if you would tell anybody at that time they had won 13 of their last 14 Big Ten games, now it's 14 of 15, that they would have won 7 straight road games in the Big Ten, now 8 straight road games. There isn't anybody alive back then would have thought that was possible because of that program. But what Pat Fitzgerald's been able to do with that program, with all the obstacles that he has to overcome, truly amazing.
You think Northwestern can beat Michigan if they play in the championship game?
No.
And they did play them tough during the year, yeah.
They did. It was a three-point loss. And I'm not trying to say, and I'm sure if Pat Fitzgerald heard me say that, he'd be really ticked off at me. But I just think that, you know, with a one-game series, one-game shot, all the marbles there. And you said Michigan. We don't know if it's going to be Michigan or Ohio State yet. Now, I think that Michigan will be an odds-on favorite. But, you know, in that game, you know, anything can happen. But I know it wasn't very indicative of that Michigan defense, how Indiana moved the ball up and down the field against them. But, you know, again, historically, I have a pretty good history watching that week before the Ohio State-Michigan game, and crazy things have happened that week. And, you know, you talk about focus and players are players, but I have a sneaking suspicion that the Ohio State players weren't thinking about Maryland, even though Ohio State has not played well this year, and Michigan wasn't really thinking about Indiana because they've controlled that contest over the years, especially in Michigan Stadium. I think both those teams were looking ahead to this Saturday.
Well, looking at the future in the Big Ten, we had a little off-mic conference here. We agreed, at least around this table, that Nebraska could be scary good in the next few years.
Well, they're sure getting better, and they beat a Michigan State team that plays great defense. You imagine winning a game 9-6, you don't score a touchdown, but you win a Big Ten football game. I really have become real quickly a fan of Scott Frost. When he got hired there, I didn't think he was the right man for that job. I thought he was the only man for that job. But I've had the opportunity to go in there twice now and sit down and talk to him, and I'm, you know, really impressed with him. They've got that thing going offensively, even though they didn't score a touchdown against Michigan State. They have an unbelievable quarterback. I think that this Adrian Martinez, who's a true freshman, in due time you'll start hearing his name being mentioned as a legitimate Heisman Trophy candidate. When they start playing, you know, good defense there, I think that they'll really be a team to reckon with. And, you know, let's face it, Dave, Sid, and Mike, when you look at this past Saturday, to think that Northwestern at 6-4 was going to be the representative of the West Division in the Big Ten Conference with 2 games to go, that's a credit to Northwestern, but I also think it's an indictment of the West Division
of the Big Ten Conference.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of which, Wisconsin coming up this next week. Can I ask a question, Sid? I haven't asked one yet. He's very upset with me, Glenn. Wisconsin had a triple overtime game. I wish you could see him, Coach. A triple overtime game yesterday, and we have no idea what to expect next week when Wisconsin plays the Gophers right now. What's your assessment of the Badgers?
Well, you talk about a team with the Badgers. You know, I think they started off like preseason number four in the country, and everybody thought that this might be the year that, of course, they were going to waltz right into Indianapolis and be the representative of the West Division, but this could be the year that they beat Ohio State because everybody thought Ohio State would be there, get to the college football playoff, and maybe be a legitimate team to be able to contend with the likes of Alabama and Clemson. And it sure hasn't, you know, worked out that way. And, man, they were on the rope against, you know, Purdue last Saturday. And, you know, to their credit, they fought back and won the football game. But I can tell you what you can expect. You better expect a steady diet of Jonathan Taylor running the football because they've got problems at quarterback. I don't know if Alex Hornibrook will play or not, and his backup sure leaves a lot to be desired, you know, throwing the football. And on the defensive side of the ball, where they've been dominant the last couple of years, it is not the case. I think they only returned four starters off of last year, and then they were faced with a lot of injuries. So this sure isn't your typical, you know, Wisconsin team. And you know, the thing about it with those high expectations, I think Paul Chris would tell you that he's very fortunate they won against Purdue to lead them into the game, you know, for the axe against Minnesota, because you face some teams that they have a disappointing season. You know, they start the bus early to go home for a little time off, and they forget to finish the season. I'm not sure that'll be the case, though.
How good is that Cashman?
I tell you, Blake Cashman, and I've been singing his praises. Everybody's been jumping on the bandwagon lately, Sid. And first of all, Sid, I got to congratulate once again the dedication of the press box there at TCF Bank Stadium in your name. You deserve it. It's a great honor. But Blake Cashman, I've been singing his praises for a number of years when he was just a special teams player. I've always thought that, and you hear me say this all the time, some guys make plays, some guys never make plays. There's a guy that always made plays. And I even mentioned to Tracy Clays when he was the defensive coordinator, I said, hey, Tracy, I said, this guy, he makes plays. Now, Tracy used to work for me, so I had the advantage to be able to say something to him like that. I said, you need to get that guy on the field. And obviously he eventually got on the field. He earned his way in the field. He's been making plays after plays after plays, and not only making plays, but make him at critical times, big plays at critical times. And I think I mentioned this on air, I think he's playing as the best linebacking play of anybody in the Big Ten Conference, maybe with the possible exception of the Devin Bush kid who plays for Michigan. But he is an outstanding football player.
Okay. You think the Gophers got any chance of beating Wisconsin?
Yes, I keep telling you. A couple of weeks ago, you mentioned, you said, well, they got three games left. They had no chance, and they blew the doors off of Purdue. That's why you play the football game. And, you know, even against the West Division champ, I look back to the game, which, you know, that I called. You take those three turnovers out of the game, two interceptions and a fumble, it might be different. And then, you know, the thing about it, I think Minnesota went for it on fourth down three times, and they didn't get any of those touchdowns. And normally they're pretty good in that situation, probably with their wildcat with Seth Green. They can convert those fourth down situations. It might be a lot different.
Glenn, we always appreciate your insights. It's so much fun to hear, especially when you watch the game that we've been talking about. So it's an easy call for us to make to have you back on the air as often as we can get you.
Well, it's an easy call for me always to come on because I miss you guys.
It's mutual. Believe me, it's mutual.
Hey, Mike, let me just tell you something. Sid gets mad. He reminds me all the time. That's his show. That's not your show.
Boy, he reminded me of that, too, and I apologize for our listeners if they heard that over the airwaves.
Well, Glenn, Sid, don't you have something for Glenn?
Okay. You think the Gophers...
I meant the Murray certificate.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You think the Gophers will be pretty good next year?
Yeah, they're a young football team. You know, the thing about it, I guess that's the... you know, that's the good news. They got everybody back. They keep talking about it, and they should be better than, you know, than they were this year. Let's face it. But, you know, there's always their other end of that. You know, I don't know what their schedule is. I haven't looked at it. I don't know what the other teams have coming back. And, you know, it's all relative to who you're playing.
Glenn Mason, always a pleasure to have you on this show, and we'll get you a marriage certificate. You must have 100 marriage certificates. You can show a party for your marriage certificates.
There's
Thank
only
you.
One guy has more certificates than me to Murray's, and that's you, Sid.
You got that right.
I think we have the address, Glenn.
Thank you.
All right, that's Glenn Mason. We'll have Lindsey Whalen when we come back. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, I'm responding to text messages every week. Why don't you have more Lindsey Whalen on? Well, we're going to have Lindsey on as often as we can. Lindsey, interesting game last night. The outcome was fine. Your kids played a good fourth quarter, but I was looking at the stat sheet. I think they had more turnovers, 22 last night, than you might have had in your Gopher career. What does a coach say to a team after that performance?
Yeah, we definitely addressed the turnovers, that's for sure. We had like you said, 22 turnovers, and we shot 32% for the game, and we still won. So as crazy as that is to walk off the floor with a win, we talked about more of a focus thing than anything, and we were also 20 for 34 from the free throw line, so we missed 14 free throws. So a lot of that to me was just focus, and you know, we just talked about how we approach the game and how we approach shoot-around has to be very businesslike. Otherwise, you know, a team like San Diego who plays hard and plays tough can beat you. And so I'm overall, though, proud of how we really responded in the fourth. And like I said, I'll take any win that you can get and then learn from it and be able to move on to the next game.
How do you feel about your team so far?
I feel good. I think last night was a good test for us. I think the first two games we came out and we were able to get out in transition and get some easy stuff. And last night, San Diego had a really good game plan of getting back in transition on defense. And then they did everything they could to keep us out of the paint. And so they fouled us, and they were in the bonus early almost every quarter, but they tried to, you know, grind us down to a halt as much as they could. And so, give them a lot of credit. They did well, but I like the way we passed that test last night, that it wasn't just going to be easy. You know, the Xavier game, I think we got out in transition. We got some easy stuff, and I think last night was a good test for us, and I'm glad we passed.
Lindsey, what do you think is the, you know, you talk about limiting turnovers and you want to create kind of a free flow, and you love people that have freedom and are creative. What's the balance there? Because you want them to play free and easy, and you certainly don't want them to turn it over, but sometimes that comes with a price. How do you create that in a point guard?
Yeah, well, I think some of our stuff last night, honestly, was I thought we were just a little too passive, and I thought we let their pressure just kind of narrow our vision just to the one player we were trying to pass to run the play. And so, you know, I think, and then once you have a couple turnovers, then everybody's trying not to turn it over, and then everybody knows when you do that, then it's just kind of a snowball effect and you end up turning it over even more. So yeah, I think it's, another thing too, is it's a whole new system for these players. And so, you know, they ran a lot of, you know, pick and roll stuff last year and a lot of, different sets, but this year it's a new system. So this is a game that we really got tested and, you know, we'll take a look at what we can do better. But, I think all that kind of, you know, factored into our high turnover rate last night.
Lindsey, you've got a rebounder extraordinaire. You get the your version of Jordan Murphy on that team. Bella just owned the boards in that game.
She is unbelievable. I mean, I really thought her will in the fourth is the reason we won. I thought that she just wanted it more than everybody on the court. And then her and then Kenesha getting to the free throw line and making some plays and whatnot. But really, ultimately, the catalyst last night was Taye. And so she, I want to say she finished with 18 rebounds again last night. And so she's just, I mean, you know, I got to play with Rebecca Brunson for 9 years. And so I've seen, you know, the best, you know, the greatest rebounder of all time in women's basketball. And Taye has some of those traits as Rebecca. And as you said, on, you know, like on the men's side of Jordan Murphy, she's got a lot of those traits. So some games, you win it in the 50s and you just are happy that you have a player like Taye. Like I talked to our coaches last night after we kind of met after the game, and I just said, you know, thank God for Taye. she show she was able to really get her game going there in the fourth, and we're glad she's on our team, that's for sure.
How do you think your team race in the Big Ten?
Well, I think the Big Ten this year is interesting. Ohio State, who won the Big Ten last year, is completely different. Maryland's always a tough team. Iowa's going to be really good. Michigan State, they're always tough. And I think as we get going, it's going to be really interesting for us to see how we stack up. And so I think nights like last night were good tests for us, because I think every team in the Big Ten is going to be physical. Every team is going to try to take us out of what we're going to try to run. And so we're going to have to respond to every challenge every night. And it's going to be tough for sure. The Big Ten it's not an easy road, but, by then we'll have some games under our belt, and we'll hopefully be feeling really confident going into conference play.
Lindsay, you did a great job at Dunkers. You made it perfectly clear. I think you've used up all of your Murray certificates. So I'm sitting 10 feet away from a guy who can remedy that right now, Sid.
Yeah, well, get you a Murray certificate. You can have another party. We keep on putting you on.
Thank you. Thank you. It's perfect timing with holidays coming up and everything. I think it's time to get back to Murray. So this is one of the, so far of all the things I've gotten to do for getting this job, this is one of the definite top perks, talking with you guys more often and then heading over to Murray.
Well, we love having you. We'll get you those certificates, you and Ben. All right, thanks so much. That's Lindsay Whalen. We'll close right after this Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, to the sounds of Frank Sinatra, we're wrapping it up today. I wish we'd had time for a couple more phone calls.
But what a lineup, though.
It was a good lineup. But I want to end on some Viking talk. This is a really big game tonight. National TV, they flexed it, as we talked about. They're going to be flexed the rest of the season. The National Football League likes the Vikings a lot. They like Mike Zimmer. Sid, you're not comfortable. I got the idea talking to you during the break. You think the Vikings are going to have a rough time in Chicago tonight?
The only good thing about the Vikings is the Bears haven't beaten anybody. They're 19-38 this season so far.
That's the opponent record. Yeah.
But the Vikings don't play good in the cold weather. They're so used to playing in the warm weather, and that quarterback is a very good, he moves around the field very good, but they get a lot of guys back.
They're healthy, healthiest they've been.
That'll help them a lot.
All right, your prediction for the game, though.
Huh?
Your prediction. You don't
I'm
like to make predictions.
Win.
Oh, you're hoping they win. Oh, thank you for going out on a line. Michael.
I like the Vikings, as I said earlier, I like the Vikings because Mike Zimmer's had 2 weeks and they're healthy. And I spent last Sunday with Mike Tice. There's a throwback on.
Yeah.
We were talking about offensive line play and whatnot. And he said that the big thing is from college to pros is you got to figure out who can bend, because they never do that in college anymore. And he says, and that's why it takes a while for the Vikings and all these teams, their offensive lines to come together. But he's been incredibly impressed with what they've done after the death of Sperano.
Sid, you wanted to?
They got four tough games in a row. They play Green Bay, they play Seattle, they play New England, and those are all tough games.
Yeah, and they get Chicago again at the end of the year, and the Lions on the road somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah, it is a tough schedule. I was online. I like to read other cities' newspapers and fan lines. I'll tell you what, fan line that's not very happy right now is next door. The Green Bay Packers phone fan line.
Finally, they're talking about McCarthy's job on the line, huh?
I never thought I'd see that. Honestly, I mean, that is the most positive fan line normally, and they are upset in Green Bay.
And I'll tell you, the other place, I don't know that the fans are upset because of what they did last year, but Philadelphia.
You know,
they've just not been able to get anything going with Wentz back and everything else. They just can't get any mojo.
Now, it looks like a one-year deal. Sid?
Cousins can fumble or get blocked for kicks. If that happens, they've got that new guy they got
from
Oakland, and he's going to make it very tough for them.
All right, I want to thank our guest today, Mike. You mentioned it. Mark Coyle started things off, and then Dario Saric. for a European, he was very easy to interview and thoughtful. Glenn Taylor, Amir Abdullah, Latavius Murray, P.J. Fleck, Eric Kaler, president of the University of Minnesota, Lou Nanny, it's fun to catch up with Lou, Glenn Mason, who had done the Gopher game, and Lindsey Whalen. We thank you for your text messages. We thank you for your phone calls. We've got the message. We're going to try to make your phone calls part of every week going forward. We'll do our best. Sometimes we just have so many guests. Sorry to connect with Rocco Baldelli. We'll try to catch up with that next week. Thank you for participating. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.